Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 307 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'll send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
All right, we're back, and on tonight's show, the 307th episode. Can you believe that? This just keeps going and going. We got some trivia for you, as always, a couple of news items, 7 movie reviews, and 5 trailers. So we got a packed show. Stick around with us. It's going to be a good one. Let's jump right into the trivia at the top here.
Oh, boy.
You and I are both obviously big Die Hard fans. We one night watched all three. We had a live review-a-thon. Remember that?
Yes. Found out number 2 is, in fact, not the best one.
Strange, huh? We both thought going into it that number 2 was our favorite.
Not very good.
Number 3 was surprisingly strong in the end.
Mm-hmm.
In watching that original trilogy, sticking out in my mind. But here, Die Hard was originated from what failed script? Do you know this? They took a lot of elements from this script that they couldn't get off the ground from the same writers that would go on to be Die Hard.
I have heard this, but
because you like
I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to remember this. I know, but I know. And I've heard this and I've read this. We actually probably spoke about this when we did our live tweet when we were watching the original 3. But no, I don't remember it. It escapes me now. So what is it?
It is Commando Part 2.
Oh, well, that is what it is. Yes, and yes. I did know that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that Schwarzenegger's John Matrix character could have been trapped in a building with terrorists is a great, great example of a movie that could have been fantastic, but because he didn't make it, it gave Bruce Willis a chance to shoot to stardom. And without Die Hard, Bruce Willis, possibly never becomes the movie star that he is, right?
Well, let's be honest. This is probably a better movie than Commando 2 ever would have been.
Oh, 100%.
Actually, I don't say probably. Yeah, it has to be, right? Commando 2 would have been cheap and cheesy, just as the first one was, which is great. Still a wonderful movie, for what it is, but... Yeah, I'd hate to miss out on Die Hard to get a Commando 2.
And Die Hard wasn't taken verbatim from that script. They just used big elements
it.
Obviously, there was a source novel by Roderick Thorpe, and there was other co-writers that added their little spist. And, I mean, the casting was fantastic, and the direction and cinematography as well as the music. So,
do you buy into the whole Die Hard as a Christmas movie thing?
I do because I watch it around Christmas time. So, yeah, I got
it. Everybody does, right? And they got it playing out down at the theater here on Christmas. It's like a... It's a thing. Christmas time, Die Hard.
I like movies that take place all during one day or one night. I always have, like Training Day, obviously, for example, and especially a nighttime movie that takes course over one night. When I was a kid, this movie was a great late night movie because it took place late at night. You know, they were trying to make it to dawn in a sense.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of adds to some not only the originality of it, but also kind of makes it feel a little realer.
Yeah. It does. It's lived in. Like that. It's happening as it's unfolding as we're watching. Even though it's not in real time, condensed movie time, it's one night.
Right, yeah.
I love it. So they're doing Lion King live action from Jon Favreau here for off the basis of the $1 billion grossing Jungle Book, which we'll get into in our review section. Do you think this is a good, wise idea? Do you think this is transferable in that sense? And is The Little Mermaid coming soon? Because I'm upset.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, they're doing Beauty and the Beast, right? So I'm sure Little Mermaid's coming soon.
Beauty and the Beast makes sense, though, because then as a television show, I can see that
happening.
It does,
because the Beauty and the Beast is not just a Disney property, right? So it's existed a lot outside of Disney. The Lion King, on the other hand, is only Disney.
And it's so iconic,
Well, but I mean, The Jungle Book's only Disney, too, right? I mean, there hasn't been anything else of that, right?
But let me counter that by saying The Jungle Book, I think, was old enough that people weren't so attached to it, where I think particularly our age range and younger love The Lion King, man. That's a seminal film in the childhood. That's tough to do that as a live-action film and think it's going to work.
Well, we'll get into The Jungle Book later on because I am clearly on the other end of that, and I think I'm going to be on the other end of this, too. I don't think this is a good idea. These movies are great as they are. Let's watch them. Actually, I mean, I think the animated Jungle Book far exceeds the one that they made as live action. And I think the same is going to be for The Lion King, because I don't think you're going to have it's going to be a different movie. You know, it just is. And the chances are that it's not going to be as good or pretty big. You know,
I wonder what they're going to do with the music. Will they keep that Elton John music and some of the famous musical sequences in it? Do they get rid of it altogether?
No, they're going to redo it, right? I mean, I don't think they have a choice. They have to redo it. Otherwise, there's not enough distance.
I say keep the score, at least. It's got a great score.
Nah, they'll rescore it. They have to redo it. It has to be redone, or else if it has those things. I don't know. I mean, the Jungle Book obviously had a lot of the same music, but it was different people singing it. But I don't know. We'll talk about it later. But I don't know. You think good idea? I think money grabs. I think I'm done. I'm getting fed up with money grabs at this point, and that's what this feels like to me.
You know, we'll get into the Jungle Book. I'll voice my opinion on that because I gave it a positive one. I gave it a positive one on episodes past. So we'll get into our conversation on it. But I do think that this has the possibility to be an interesting movie. But I understand what you're saying, that any link
does
to the past cartoon.
What would be interesting about it, though? It's going
to
literally
be. Just
to
see if they could pull it off, and if they could make it an adult-themed type deal.
Why couldn't they? But how is the Jungle Book an adult-themed movie, right? It's the same fucking movie. I mean, this is going to be the same length. It's going to be the same movie, except it's going to be live action. There's just no reason for it to exist other than to get your money at the box office, right? There's no other reason for it. No one's clamoring for it. There's not a cry, you know. I'm Jon Favreau, you know, as good as he is, isn't that great. You know, he's not going to reimagine this.
I'm wondering what angle he's going to take on it. Like, what attracted him to this material? If it was just because the Jungle Book made so much.
Yeah, because of the Jungle Book. And now he's, you know. Yeah, of course. He's their guy now for this kind of stuff. And he's going to make a shitload of money. So why wouldn't he do it? I mean, if I was him, I would do it too, right? You know, how could you not?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, literally. Because it's going to be well received if he does it in the similar sense that he did the Jungle Book, which was well received, right? So, yeah, he probably can't fuck it up, you know, but.
Well, it's all under that Disney banner. He moved from Marvel to Disney, and now we're going to change our attention to Marvel. I got that one out just beautifully.
Ooh, like a ballerina. The same thing, so. They're kind of the same thing. So.
They are the same thing.
Same family, I guess, yeah.
And Netflix just released their Marvel series, Luke Cage, which apparently caused servers to crash. So many people were watching it over the weekend. Did you check it out?
I haven't watched it yet, so I wasn't part of the crash, but...
You're not the culprit?
It was a big thing, I guess. Everyone went on Twitter, and they were like, oh, no. I can't watch Netflix.
That
people,
does
people
suck
had to go
Netflix
outside.
Down.
No, they didn't. They people just started watching, you know, the shit that was on Amazon or Hulu, right?
Or that's been building up on their DVR. I mean,
right? If they still have that, if they still have TV, yeah, then they watch TV.
I got to go.
You know, they didn't
get
up off their ass.
Where I watch something streaming, and then I watch something to clear off my DVR. Then I watch like a DVD or Blu-ray. Then I watch
no,
like
no,
a
you have
VHS.
Work to do. Yeah, you have homework assignments. These are the things that you need to do.
Right.
Yeah. And then you feel good about yourself because you now you have 83% available in your DVR.
Somebody the other day said you didn't do shit today. I said I cleared 6 hours yeah. off this bad boy right here.
I got myself cleaner. Extra 10%, so now I can record. I'm no longer in the danger zone of not being able to record stuff.
No, now I can just fucking record the Lethal Weapon TV show and not watch it for 23 episodes. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it next season.
Could build it up a little bit more. Yeah.
Make sure it doesn't get canceled before I watch it. But I haven't seen any of these Marvel, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, or the Daredevil. Although you're telling me to watch Daredevil.
Really
you're
good. I think Jessica Jones is excellent.
Are they
they're surprisingly intertwined? Well, I mean, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are extremely intertwined, but you can watch them all separately. They're not necessary, I'd say. Like the characters. Yeah, go back and forth, but they're complete stories in and of themselves, so they're not. You don't get anything from watching them, all of them, other than they're all really great. So,
I still want to give myself more hope. I've got a lot of shit to watch. Okay,
I would. I don't know. Out of what I've seen, Daredevil versus Jessica Jones, I thought Jessica Jones was the better story overall, especially the through line in it. But I mean, both of those shows, Daredevil and Jessica Jones, have had amazing bad guys. Which really made those shows. So I'm hoping Luke Cage, I don't know what the bad guy is going to be, but it has to be amazing. It has to be good.
I agree with you because that's right now one of the problems with Gotham, which I've hung in there now for 3 seasons on this, and they are lacking a really good central villain. They're bringing back people that were previously dead in fantastical ways, and it's really searching again for it never found its footing, I don't think, and it's really grasping this season, I believe, and it's unfortunate because it does not have that villain character. And it has all the possibilities. You know, they keep teasing villains we know, and they keep giving us villains that are shit. But I'm off my soapbox there.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and come back with our reviews of 7 new films.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
All right, we're back.
Hey, how are you? Missed you.
We've been making out the whole time. No,
it was too.
That didn't happen.
Soon.
Yeah, it's too soon.
We're separated by 300 miles. Okay, not that big. Let's just move on to masterminds here. I don't want to talk about being separated because this is a situation where this movie separates itself from the audience early on.
This movie bombed hardcore. Why?
I don't know why my showing was sold out then. Yeah, sold out.
Well, you got a lot of stupid people living around you, I guess.
People fucking love this movie. I thought it was, outside of the first 10 minutes, I thought this movie was lacking in almost every department. It's a Saturday Night Live reunion, and I wondered why until I saw that it was produced by Lorne Michaels. They're keeping that on the low. But, this has pretty much 3 out of 4 characters, Melissa McCarthy being the absent one of all the Ghostbusters.
She's basically Saturday Night Live as well at this point, right? She's going to start being in all the Lorne Michaels things, I'm sure.
But I mean, she's Zach Galifianakis-esque. You know, she's the female Zach Galifianakis I always thought when she was being.
Of course, with Bridesmaids. I mean, that's how she was introduced. I agree.
And even when she was the girlfriend in Hangover Part 3, she was Galifianakis' girlfriend. Remember that at the very end?
Right, yeah.
The pawn shop girl.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's how they introduced her to everyone.
Yeah, she's eclipsed how she got success. And she stayed away from this project. But Galifianakis tries hard here. And I actually kind of like what he's doing. He's not the total quote-unquote mentally retarded person that they make him out to be in the trailer. Although this is a case of the trailer having all the laughs in it. And in the trailer format, it's fairly amusing. But in this entirety, it's just not a good movie. It reminded me of strange because Owen Wilson is in that movie too. But it's The Big Bounce. Remember that film with Charlie Sheen and all those?
And I strangely like that movie. But
so do I, because it's kind of an oddball. But this reminded me of like an Elmore Leonard, Shorty kind of Barry Sonnenfeld, Big Trouble.
So not Pain and Gain then, but more.
No. That'd be more like
so more grounded than Pain and Gain. You're saying or.
Way more comical and just ironic and just not funny. This is not a funny movie, and you can see why it's been sitting on the shelf for so long. But the people in the audience, I must say, the audience reaction, maybe I just had a very high audience, but they were eating this shit up, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was hard to fight off sleeps.
You don't find that to always be true, though? Going to a movie theater, and there are parts that people will laugh at in movies that simply are not laugh-out-loud funny. And we'll get other people laughing. And so, I mean, for me, whenever I go to the theater, I always find it interesting that the audience finds things more funny. Like the comedy is somehow amplified. You don't think that's true? Or?
Well, the strange, I mean, on the vice versa of that is I've been to comedies that are absolutely dying on screen. And it's just, it's deathly silent, which is like the worst thing to have. Oh, I remember seeing Arthur, that Russell Brand remake. And that was just, I mean, it just was dying on screen.
That might be a good,
it was depressing to be in that theater. I'll never forget that. It was like a strange experience. You know, even Dumb and Dumber 2, to an extent, was very, you're waiting to laugh a lot. That was weren't coming.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, when I saw Ghostbusters, people laughed a lot. Suicide Squad, people laughed in the theater I was in at things. Some of the stuff was humorous. The vast majority, not laugh out loud funny, but people laughed. And I was like, what in the hell? But I find that happens a lot. It's weird.
I recall, now you say that, like there are times when I'm rewatching something and like a moment will happen that doesn't strike me as anything. And I'll recall that it got a big reaction in the theater. And I never understood why that nuance got like the reaction it did.
Often that happens to me. I mean, I recognize it and I think, oh, that's really great. Or that's humorous. That's very funny. But it's never like, you know, a gut-busting thing, or even like a chuckle type thing. It's just one of those, oh, that's clever, you know, or whatever. But people will, for whatever reason in a theater, feel the need to react, you know.
Well, since we're on the topic, let me share this story for you. I remember seeing Cliffhanger in the theater. It's 1993, and there's that sequence where Stallone's throwing money into the fire to keep them warm, you know, the money that they found, him and the girl, and he makes the joke. He says, it costs a fortune to heat this place. Then he goes, sorry, bad joke. This like truck driver, burly guy behind me goes, oh, he goes, no, it's not. And he like talks back to the screen. I'll always remember that he said that because he was dying. He loved that joke. You know what I mean? Like, and this guy was fucking loving Cliffhanger. It made me enjoy it more. You know, it kind of felt communal in a sense. Like, oh, we're all in this together. You know, we're all behind this.
It
didn't feel as cynical as today's audiences are in a lot of ways.
Well, I don't know if that's just us and not the audiences. Because I agree with you. When I go see movies like that, even like Ghostbusters, it's better, like that experience is better in a theater than watching that on my own or with a smaller group of people, because you're not going to get the array of the audience that you get in the theater. And so I know something that's that you can hear the reactions to thing, and it kind of gives you a better feeling about it. You know what I mean? In a sense, like you didn't react to it in that way, but somebody else is. So you think, oh, well, good job. Good for you guys.
Well, I mean, I know you don't like the movie Warrior, and I absolutely adore that film. And I think part of, you know, that movie going experience for me was this lady behind me who was absolutely dying with tear. You know what I mean? It was making me choke up listening to her reaction. And when, you know, when you're in a packed theater and you can hear the sniffles and you see the why, it does affect you. You know, it makes things maybe sometimes hit you a little bit harder than it would if you were either in the movie by yourself.
That movie, I mean, that last fight in that movie is just gut wrenching.
Yeah, but there are
other moments in that movie that are gut wrenching for other reasons. You're just like, fucking hurry up! What are you doing?
Yeah, you want a good cry?
The goddamn walk on the beach. That whole beach scene is too long.
You know, we discussed. We threw around the idea briefly about watching a movie that, you know, remaking or making each other watch movies that we didn't like. Where, you know, I said Pain and Gain you liked, and I didn't like it initially, but I've grown to like it. I wanted to talk about it. And Warrior is one I want you to go back and fucking rewatch. I don't understand it. You're an intelligent man. How do you not like that movie? Good God.
I like aspects of that movie, but
let's move on. Actually, okay, you know, that's directed by Gavin O'Connor, whose new movie, The Accountant, looks fantastic with Ben Affleck. So
does it though? I mean, it's just retarded Batman.
Oh wow!
Oh, isn't it? Wow! Though?
I thought actually, it was more Rain Man with a gun, but hey, yeah. You want to say it?
It's all the same thing. Actually, the newer trailers I don't know what the first trailer they cut for that is just, in my opinion, bad. The newer trailers cast him in a much better light than that. I mean, literally, you watch the first trailer for that and you think this is retarded Batman, you know. And that's not me like, oh, well, you know, I'm against, you know, retarded people or anything. Like, that's what that trailer is. You tell me that's not what that is. That is a perfect
movie. And no, it does. To hide it by
watch if you watch the newer trailers, they're much better, and it paints more of a complete picture of a whole movie. So I would take that back. That movie might be really, really good.
Well, you saw Neighbors 2, which I thought was really, really bad. And what did you actually think?
Yeah,
of this
I just
year?
Fucking love. Nah, I can't even lie. Yeah, what the fuck happened, man? I wanted to love this so much.
Me too.
I was like, because I watched the first one the night before.
Great movie.
And that's a movie that took a while to grow on me. And everything that all the problems that I had with the first one are like amplified to the millionth degree in this one.
100%. It takes the weakest parts.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's eight different movies in here, which it was a problem I had with the first one is that it felt like it wasn't a coherent story. It felt like there were several different focus points throughout the entire movie. And this one's even worse. I mean, more importantly, number one, you know, I don't need the backstory on the Zac Efron shit, or I don't need the backstory on the sorority. You know, it's too much.
Pick
it's
one
just
or the other.
Too much. Yeah. You can bring Zac Efron back, but I don't need, you know, the whole gay stuff. Actually, I don't need any of the political stuff is what I don't need. You know, people can be gay in your movie. Women can be fighting for their rights or whatever, but it doesn't have to be like everything needs for some reason to be a political stance. You know, it's just not why, how did that happen in that movie? I mean, every fucking thing was like, look at us. We're forward thinking.
I thought it was just shoddy filmmaking. I mean, at the base level, to be honest with you, I just thought it was very badly put together that seemed like it was recut from a longer version.
That. Well, I mean, and that may be true. I didn't necessarily see that. I thought it all, you know, played off each other, but it was just too much. You know,
how bad was Moretz? She's fantastic. Usually she was terrible.
She wasn't hardly in the movie. You know, I mean, honestly, there wasn't, I just don't, that's the other thing. Why is she in that movie? You know, there's not enough for her to chew on, to be in that movie, period. There were moments when I really liked the Zac Efron character and I thought, let's just go with this, you know, like let's fucking just go with this dude. Like, it's funny. I'm liking it. And then they would switch off to something else. And there's the thing, what is going on? Well, why is this happening? Too much switching, too much shit. The jokes were terrible. You know,
the tampons against the window was so lame.
Really? I thought that was
then
kind of funny.
Breaking into the house and stealing the phones.
Nah, it was no more lamer than the other shit they did in the first one.
I thought this one, I thought they'd have to be fucking, I just thought that it was so outlandish, some of the series of pranks that they were pulling, and they were not that funny. And I felt bad for Efron that once again they got him, you know, to basically strip and sing, you know, dance and sing half naked, monkey. It's like every movie he's in at this point, it's the same shit with that. And I just thought that it was old hat material.
Well, I think he's funny, and we'll talk about Mike and Dave a little bit later on, which he's also in. He's being kind of
it thought put it was into a progressive these... movie, and it's not.
Well, that's
my,
the whole
my
problem with it, you know. I mean, it's not like that. It has more issues than that. You're right. It's immature, as you said. Bad filmmaking. I kind of agree with that because while it's technically not bad, like it technically fits together, and they did this setup and they pulled it off there, it just like the flow of it is so fucked up.
I said this in my review, and I'll stand by. I said, I think that you should revisit any of the American Pie movies, and you would find bigger laughs and better female characterizations.
I mean, at this point, I watched a little bit of the last American Pie movie, the real one, last real one, not one of the
American Wedding,
the spinoff ones,
or
not
American Reunion.
Wedding, but the reunion one.
Yeah,
which I was adverse to when that first came out because it was behind the curve. But let me tell you, that movie is actually pretty funny.
They're all, I mean, that's just a better example of filmmaking, yeah, writing, and characterization. And I really
it's
like
just
the
easier.
First
it's just easier. You don't have to, yeah, the First Neighbors is hard to, for me to get my head around because there's so much going on in it. But this movie is just impossible for me. I just can't do it, you know, and it's not funny as well. Like, at least Neighbors is funny. It has moments of true levity. This does not. There's just none. None. Actually, that's not true. Zac Efron a couple times I thought was pretty funny.
I thought,
but that was it.
The First Neighbors at least had enough characters that you understood. This had way too many side characters. And
well, at least I cared about the people in Neighbors 1, yeah, you know, and I really did not care about any of them at this point in this one, you know, if not just because it was too dragged out.
Yeah, very, very disappointing movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Popstar briefly here. You didn't get a chance to watch Popstar, did you?
I watched the opening of it, and then I turned it off because it looked really fucking boring. So you tell me what happens after the whole fake, like, introduction where he's talking on the news and then he's doing this. He's basically explaining how he become a pop star, which is boring
I thought it was laughs, man. Honestly, I
really
wanted to see this, and I thought this was about as close. I mean, they're trying for a Christopher Guest, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman kind of mockumentary, Spinal Tap, if you will, for the new age, but obviously using the Justin Bieber Never Say Never movie as a platform. But they're taking shots at the Beastie Boys, U2, Justin Bieber, with all these kind of things, and it to me was pretty fucking funny in a lot of ways. It didn't overstay its welcome. Tim Meadows is good in this.
I love Tim Meadows. I didn't get that part yet.
Yeah, you only got about 4 minutes in. I saw you on the pause button there.
I did love Tim Meadows is not in enough stuff.
No, Tim Meadows is very, very good here too. He's actually the fourth member of Tony, but they cut him. So, you know, because he didn't put an exclamation point, he put a question mark at the end to be different, and they didn't like it. So he's a little bitter, and he's a manager. So it's got a lot of it's very knowing, especially about the TMZ culture. Will Arnett plays Harvey Levin in a TMZ mockumentary and nails the shit out of that. It's very well, it's got a lot of cameos. It's well cast, and I like the three guys, the Lonely Island guys, and what they're doing here. The supporting guys, Akiva Schiffer and I can't think of the other guy's name, but who plays Owen in the movie, who's actually on stage with him as his DJ, is very, very funny. And I just thought this was destined to be kind of those cult movies. Like when people, they'll talk about this and somehow this is going to grow and this character will evolve. Because the music too is not bad. I mean that fuck Bin Laden song cracks me up every time
they
I hear
write
it.
Funny stuff. They really do have good. I mean, this is true Lonely Island Boys music, right?
In yes, that same absolutely.
Vein. Yeah. I do. I like all their music. It's very
and
funny.
For, you know, and Timberlake's got obviously a little presence here, and there's a lot of Saturday Night Live people that come and go in. But
they got Timberlake in here?
Well, yeah. So you get into it. So next episode,
I do like Justin Timberlake.
We'll find out what your view is it, because you've seen one that I haven't
seen.
I wanted to see Warcraft. I still haven't taken the time to watch it. I watched the Honest trailer for it, and I just couldn't bring myself to watch the fucking
movie. It's probably
movie.
Honest. I didn't see the Honest trailer because I don't like those, but it was probably honest enough. I mean, it's bad.
Is it worth my time? It's only 90 minutes, right? Is it worth it?
Well, it's titled The Beginning, so no, it's not. By the end,
what do you mean
you're
it's
like,
titled The Beginning?
It's Warcraft The Beginning. You know, they took that little colon the beginning off it, so they trick you. But it is literally an intro into this world. So it's a very small movie. There's, you know, for a movie called Warcraft, there's not enough war in it. They set it up so that only a certain amount of orcs can make it through the portal. So already you're limited, right? So the big battle's yet to come, right? And then it ends with a cliffhanger, just like an open ending of like other movies will come. So it's terrible. Ben Foster's fucking horrible in it.
Is Glenn Close in this movie?
Terrible to say. No.
I heard she was in this movie somewhere.
Mm-mm. No, Ben Foster's terrible. Paula Patton is great.
I heard she's terrible. I saw the Honest trailer.
Really?
You couldn't understand a fucking word she was saying with those teeth.
Well, that actually, I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, a lot of it's subtitled here and there, but I never had a problem understanding anybody. Although, I mean, maybe I kind of... The problem with the Honest trailers is that they're done... is that they're not true. They're not actually honest, right? They're done for a comedic effect, so they're full of bullshit. But I thought she was good. She was one of the only good things about the whole movie was her performance. But even then, the whole script is lackluster. You know, the movie's just not that great.
That's actually
I know
very
a
sad
friend
to hear.
Of yours said it was very good, but he probably, I believe he plays the game.
Yeah, he's played the game.
Yeah. So there were parts of the movie where they had these rules and different things happened where you think, oh, that probably plays into how it plays out in the game. So it's probably fairly true to,
he said,
you know,
visually,
the magic and stuff and how that stuff is in the game. Yeah, visually, I mean, it looks like a cutscene from the game or the commercials from the game. You know, it looks like a CGI movie.
Yeah, don't they all?
And I really can't say anything good about it because the story is just terrible. It's just not there. You know, it's orcs. They open up a portal. They come over. Only a few of them, right? Because you can't have all of them come over and win right away. So a few of them come over, and then they fight, and then they're like, well, magic, you know. It's over.
This movie.
It's fucking horrible, man. I can't. And the fact that Ben Foster's bad in it is just mind-blowing to me because
love
Ben
Foster.
Yeah,
it's hard to make
him bad. But yeah, he's really, like, the character that he plays is just shit. Like, he just... I don't know. It's sad to see that this is the only role that's available to him because he's better than this.
Well, he's cashing out on paychecks like this while he's doing good stuff like the Lance Armstrong movie and Hell or High Water. So he is balancing at least. Well, speaking of shit movies, I saw the Blair Witch reboot and
loved it.
Oh, man. Let's start at the beginning. Where did you stand on Blair Witch, the original?
When it came out, when I went and saw it in theaters, and I thought it was good as an event movie for the time period it came out. You know, it's impressive when you've never seen anything like that before, and the hoopla around it and everything, and so it makes it fun to watch. As a movie, it's fucking terrible, though. I mean, hands down, it's horrendous.
When I saw it, a buddy of mine named Jason Gearhart gave me this back then it was a CD, like a CD-ROM or burnt CD of the movie, and he said, this is real. This is a real documentary. We went online in the infancy of the internet.
That was the fun of it, though.
Yeah, we saw it. We actually thought it was somewhat real because all the hoopla around it. So when I first saw it, there was still a thing of, is it real? Is it not real? Parts of it are real. It's based on, you know, it was still in that internet naivety stage, or you didn't really know what was going on and if to be trusted or marketing of the internet stuff. So I saw it, and I'm a city kind of guy, so the woods scared the shit out of me anyways, and this scared the fucking shit out of me. The first Blair Witch really got under my skin. It was the first found footage movie I'd ever really gotten into or seen. I'd seen parts like Cannibal Holocaust, but never really in its full because it's a disgusting movie and it's shitty made and just not very good to watch. So this was the first one that got me. Now, the reboot has all the same scenes as the original, but it is so fucking boring from the very beginning. I mean, I'm talking 2 minutes into it. It's visually boring. All the things that they're trying to do to scare you or to set up are just unsuccessful. It's cast terribly. It's just not a good idea. You know, it's just not a good idea to remake this.
I mean, all the things you said about that, I would say about the first one. So is it just the fact that, you know, are we just talking about a matter of timing here?
Maybe because I've grown so accustomed to this. Mm-hmm. But to me, the first one was such a – and it's black and white and it was grainier and – you know, right. It's just things are so cleaned up now and footage is – there's maybe one effective little shot in the whole movie. And the outside of that, it's just – it's bigger. It's more bombastic. It's just not – but it doesn't work at all. In any scene, at any point, there's no reason to give a shit about this movie. There's no reason to even exist. That's what pisses me off at. Wasted fucking – and it's only 90 minutes long and it feels torturously long.
Well, yeah. I mean, the first one has – a split, you know, at this point, when you think about how big it was when it came out and how many people don't like it now.
I actually liked part two for what it was. You know, I understood that it was a shit sequel and that it was a cash grab. But it wasn't like at the time, we're talking about what, 1990?
Well, it's 2000. Better made than the first one. I mean, but that's
this was like in the era of like disturbing behavior and shit movies that we were getting in the horror genre. So
I do like those movies, though. But those are shit movies. But Phantoms, so I understand that. Shit. Yeah, but I do like Phantoms. But I like them. I guess I understand what you're saying. I like they're shit. I openly admit it, but I still enjoy them because they're a good afternoon relaxation. Yeah. You know, something that you can just throw on and watch.
Mick, the whole nine there. You know, it's like those are good mm-hmm. movies to have on in the background. Those Miramax late '90s horror movies, H2O,
yes,
things like that.
I agree.
All right, let's move on and talk about X-Men Apocalypse, which you've just caught up with. I said in my review of this that it was neither good or bad. It's just simply the latest X-Men movie. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's a moment in this about halfway through it when I thought, God, this is the tamest fucking X-Men movie I've ever seen. And not only that, but I have literally seen all this before. And then when you get into the second half of the second act and off into the third act, you begin to realize, okay, there's a point at which, and we saw this with the Star Wars movies, where you can't make prequels bigger than the originals because it doesn't make sense. How does any of this stuff happen? How is this true? How
does this fit in? They finally find Wolverine, you're talking about? That little cameo?
Yeah, that, and how do they not remember? And how is all this destruction happen? Like, when, like, is this a different, am I totally out of my mind? Is this a different timeline?
I don't understand. Believe me, like, I'm so lost at this point. So I don't know. I think that Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't really remember the last one.
I thought she was a wash. You don't remember it? Well, they have the same sequence with Quicksilver, and they had to go recruit him and have him running around and time stopping and the music.
I know. I remember some of it, but I don't remember how it played out exactly. Well, that's how this felt. This felt like not only had I seen this before, but you know, the in jokes about referring to third movies and all this, and thinking, my God, we're going to do Phoenix again? I mean, my God, what? I mean, are we going to do a Wolverine movie after this? Like, you know, what the fuck is going on here?
I thought Jennifer Lawrence's character was a wash in this, that they had nothing for her to do. She's not even really essentially tied to the plot.
Because that's a bad guy character that they took and they made into a good guy because it has her in it. And they shouldn't, you know, again, just a straight money grab, you know, and well made, you know, well written. Sure, but how basic can you fucking get? Like, when you spend this amount of money on a movie that's just this basic, it really becomes all, you know, just sound and fury, right?
That's exactly what it was. That's why I said it was neither the best nor the worst. It was just simply the latest. It's not as bad as X-Men 3, but, I mean, why does it star Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers? I don't understand that either. I mean, Apocalypse is not a very interesting character as a villain.
He's your basic villain, right? Isn't he? Most powerful villain ever. And he's just basic. Like, he just fucking shows up and he's just like, I'm going to destroy the world. And then he basically does. And then, so how do they put this world back together? I mean, how do you watch these prequels and then watch the original three? You can't. They don't go together.
Oh, they're not meant to. It's supposed to be in the moment, I think. They don't want
to. Are they not meant to?
Ones.
They totally should go together.
Why
this
is this
bullshit?
Movie 2 hours and 20 minutes, though? Explain that to me.
Why not? Because all movies have to be over 2 hours at this point. If they're not over 2 hours, then they're not a real movie.
I thought that the new Storm was a bust. I didn't think that the character registered at all. I thought Cyclops.
I had to keep telling myself that's Storm. Well, that's Storm, right?
You know, I just thought that the Cyclops little thing with him
really?
Stealing
you're,
the car.
Really, you are into the whole Magneto thing still at this point? I mean, fuck! I can't wait to see the next one where Magneto decides he's bad, but then figures out he's good.
Oh, the first 40 minutes. Wait. Oh, that sequence when he finally goes down is one of the better sequences in that movie with the Nazis in the forest.
I guess. I mean, it's one of the most emotional parts. But
I just thought at least something was happening, you know?
I don't know. It's just, it's just whatever at this point. It really was just a letdown, but in a way that, like, almost worse than if it had been a big failure.
Because it was so fucking average.
Yeah, because, like, you didn't even try.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happened. They didn't try. Let's move on and talk about Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. This is I still haven't seen this one, but you just got a chance to check this out. I saw Popstar instead. Give us your review.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was funny. not you know, hands down the funniest thing. Not a movie that's probably going to live on in infamy as a funny, dirty movie, but I thought it worked. It's kind of like the thing nowadays is always looking back, right? And this is the movie when it first opens up, the opening sequence is Wedding Crashers. Right, and I said that. I remember turning to my brothers watching it with me, and this movie is going to be, this movie wants to be Wedding Crashers. And then, you know, about 3/4 through the movie, they actually have a reference to Wedding Crashers. And that's when I thought, oh, fuck me, you know. I'm worried. That's how, like, kind of meta movies are. I mean, that's why, I guess, Deadpool was so good, right? Was because it's kind of how all movies are going, right? They're just very referencing and meta, this and that. There's a whole part about Jurassic Park in this. It's all very funny still. Mm-hmm. So it works. And, you know, all is forgiven in the end. Zac Efron's funny. Adam Devine's funny. I like Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza. You know, it just works as a very simple movie. And who doesn't love a Hawaiian movie, especially after Forgetting Sarah Marshall? You know, a wedding that takes place in Hawaii. Yeah, you know, I mean, it just seems like a nice getaway for everyone, us as the audience included.
So is it worth watching, or is this just a mediocre comedy?
I'd say it's worth watching because there's not, I mean, you want to see something new, right? But it's not like the funniest fucking thing in the world, right? But it's good enough that you should watch it. You'll enjoy it. And then you'll move on with your life. But still, I mean, that's worth it, I think, to me.
I think it's been an extremely bad year for comedies this year, noticeably bad. We've had a couple of strong years in the past, but horror is really, especially this summer, horror took off like crazy and comedies were falling by the wayside. So this is one that did okay. I mean, did just about as well as Neighbors 2, which was much more high profile. So I wanted to see it because I thought, you know, they had a good word of mouth spread on it. So, but it makes sense. I mean, people like wedding movies and comedies around weddings and raunchy comedies, certainly around weddings. So there's a lot of... a lot of audience that goes for this demographic wise. And so let me ask you this though. Does Efron get naked and sing and dance again in this fucking movie? Cause like four movies this year, he's done that in. Is he continuing the tradition? I swear to God, if he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely removes his shirt.
I mean, I'm sure they're paying for the goods, but I mean, they got him singing and dancing too on top of the shit.
I mean, they all do a sing and dance at the end, so
Oh my god.
I mean, no. I'll say no. It's not like Neighbors 2.
Or Dirty Grandpa.
Or Dirty Grandpa.
Or We Are Friends. I mean,
he removes his shirt, obviously, because he's Zac Efron, but it's not in a way that, you know, and comments are made, but it's not in a way that, like, that he's removing his shirt to show off or anything. I don't know. Like, you watch it. It's not like that.
I just thought he was auditioning for the next Magic Mike movie constantly. Like, hey guys, look at me over here.
And
hey,
they
guys.
Do that, and it's a joke. But I mean, to be fair, they do that with a lot of people. You know, Ryan Gosling kind of has fallen into that whole thing too. So, you know, it happens.
All right. Well, you gave your comment at the top of the hour on The Jungle Book. I thought really almost 4-star material. I loved this movie. You sound like you didn't like it much. What didn't you like?
It was boring as fuck. I mean, literally a carbon copy of the other movie, just to a T, and just boring, you know, really not interesting at all to watch, and just, you're just waiting for things to happen, and nothing seems to ever really want to happen, you know, he's just meandering through the jungle through most of the movie.
I think that's because you maybe have a strong grasp on the original. I don't remember the original from anything. So I thought this was kind of intriguing as it went along. I thought the movie magic part of it all worked with the animals. And yeah. I thought that it kind of captured a little bit of movie magic that had been missing for a long time. I'm surprised. When you say a boring movie, especially a children's cartoon or property transferred to live action, I think a Hook. Because I can't go back and rewatch Hook for shit. Hook. I loved Hook when it first came out, but have you tried to watch it like the last 5 or 6? It's impossible to get through. Honestly, it's so laborious that this has got to be.
That's why I feel about this. I mean, it may be a simple movie, but simple doesn't mean you know, not boring, right? I mean, this is just has no point, you know, and it's missing a couple things from the other movie that I wish it had, but. I feel like this is purposefully left open-ended so that we can tack on some more. It just feels like a fucking money grab to me, the whole thing. And that's, I'm just really getting done with that kind of shit, you know? I don't know. I'm just done. Stop with the open fucking endings. Like, end the fucking movie. You know, end it.
Well, even things when we were younger that were intended for sequels had endings. I mean, obviously all the Star Wars did.
Of course they did, because they weren't intended for sequels. They weren't sure if there was going to be a sequel. So they ended that fucking thing. They had a complete thought, you know? I mean, Warcraft is probably one of the worst examples of this, or the best, I guess, where it's just not a complete fucking story. It's not done, you know? It's not finished. And if you want to do that, make a fucking TV show, you know?
Yeah.
Don't make a movie then.
Yeah, leave TV shows open-ended, close out movies. I agree with you on that, absolutely. Let's move on to our trailer addict portion of today. Actually, let's go streaming online. You got a streaming online pick? I think you do. You told me on off the air.
I don't know. I mean, I have a few, so I'll give you one this time around. I'm going to say Supergirl, which is now streaming first season on Netflix. If you haven't had a chance to see it, like me, I don't have cable. I don't have easy access to CBS because they want you to pay their own $8 a month, but I refuse. Steadfastly refuse. But they just released first season Supergirl not too long ago. Literally just powered through it. It's so good. They also got The Flash on there. Excellent as well. Good tie-in after you finish Supergirl, watch Flash. They're going to have second season of Flash on there pretty soon as well. So those are my picks.
My pick, I think this was new for it. I don't know if anyone watched it. It was Hard Target 2. It is available on streaming. I gave it a good review. I'm not sure if I mentioned that last episode, so I'll give it another push this one. It's available on Netflix for your viewing pleasure. Right. Check it out.
Oh, we should say Jean-Claude Van Johnson picked up for a season.
Hey, we told you guys, and I guess enough of you went out. Did you fill on the online survey, by
Fuck
the way?
Yeah, this is the only time I've ever voted for
me one. Too. I know, it's weird. I did too, and it got picked up. Although, to be fair, they picked up all three shows, so I think it might have been happening regardless, but I'm
glad. Well, I don't
know.
They don't probably have a lot. I don't think they have a lot right now.
I think it's a fantastic show. I really do think it's a good show, and I thought it was the best. I watched The Tick as well. I didn't care for that Tick reboot at all.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but the Jean-Claude Van Johnson thing is fucking excellent. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with, you know, 10 more episodes.
Yeah, I hope they don't go way too off the rails with this, because it obviously could slide very far left. But if it's that sly, if it's that well done, and you know, you talk about meta, I mean, that's very self-referencing and all that kind of
belief,
stuff.
Yeah. Well, you
it's
just
an open wound. He's an open wound still. I love it. I love. He's honestly, if you think about actors and what he almost reminds me of Mike Tyson in the sense that his fuck ups have been so public, and he's almost an athlete, action icon, you know, with the body and the looks, and he's so open about it now and so self-referential and deprecating that it's almost like he has a second career coming, you know, as a George Foreman-esque type character, Mike Tyson-esque.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. Obviously, the JCVD was kind of the birthing of this, but I just hope they have an idea for an actual show here and not just an idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
say. You know
what
I mean? Like, yeah, what's the through line going to be here? What's the overall arc of this first season going to be?
You know what's insane is I'm obviously a big JCVD fan. Like, I love Jean. I mean, love me some Jean-Claude. And it's clear he has had a rough life right on his face. Is he not aged?
Yeah, he looks pretty rough.
Now, let me give you an example. Do you know who is the exact same age as Jean-Claude? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Cruise looks a little rough, but you can't tell me Tom Cruise hasn't had work. Actually, for a fact, we know that he has in the past.
Or he's eating magic fucking jelly beans somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's
you know who
definitely
else doesn't age? Is Jamie Foxx. Doesn't age. It's very strange.
Yeah, but Jamie Foxx, yeah, I mean, I agree. But he's like, I don't know, he is different. They are all different looking, though, aren't they? They have aged, but they're like, I don't know, like their face just moves around. It doesn't really, like,
I'm telling you,
it doesn't get older, you know?
You could do a Miami Vice sequel right now with Ferrell and Fox, and they don't look like they fucking aged a day. It's bizarre.
That's true.
It's very weird. All right, let's stop talking about fucking aging. Let's get into Trailer Addicts.
Oh, God, there's trailers.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
All right. My shields are raised.
My shields are
raised. Your shields are shields erupt. Yes, exactly.
Shields have been aroused, sir. Let's talk about the teaser trailer that was released just the other day for Pirates of the Caribbean. Dead Men Tell No Tales, or what they're trying to hide is that it's Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
What they're trying to, hide? Is that the only thing they're trying to hide?
I thought
Johnny Depp was the thing they were trying to hide.
This movie actually, I mean, look, it gets all the peripheral stuff right. It has a nice little teaser here. It gets the mood going. It looks like it's taking every element from every other fucking entry and throwing it into this one, right? I mean, who is this? Is this the guy at the bottom of the ocean again?
Is this the point?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, what is this? This is a money grab, right? I mean, again, just a blatant, like, here's the next installment. Like, are movies just TV shows at this point? Is that what's happening? That's what it looks like, right? I mean, I can't differentiate this from an episode of a TV show. Or a season, I guess, of a TV show. It's just, you know, the same shit, different day. And it's like, where's the importance of this? Why do I even give a shit about Captain Jack Sparrow anymore? What's he going to do for me? You know, I'm about to spend my fucking money on this. He's got to do something for me, right? And it's got to be more at this point than just the wee-haw, woo-woo fucking show that everyone's doing, right? Big explosions and everything. I mean, are we just that dumb at this point?
I really liked the last one. I thought On Stranger Tides was pretty fucking
too
entertaining.
But now that we've done our one-off, you know, okay, Star Trek 3, okay, Star Trek Beyond, right? We've done our one-off, very good. That was the last Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's do something important now. Let's take us back into the world and have something matter. Let's not do, you know, just some one-off James Bond thing again, because I just feel like, you know, Javier Bardem is just, this is like his comeback from James Bond is an evil guy.
Yeah, he's running the show here.
I don't know. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it.
I think the biggest question is why, and it may be a little too late in this game.
Money.
And this is kind of becoming tropes all over the place when you watch this trailer. Like, okay, here we go. Check that off the list. Check this off the list. Okay, weird creatures, the guy limping, the fucking ho-ho-ho, and the Orlando Bloom.
It's like Star Wars
wannabe.
Episode 7, you know, all over again at this point. It's just, it's money, you know. It's not, I have a wonderful story to tell. Sit down, let me spin you a tale here. It's fucking, give me your money. This guy blows up and there's fucking pirates. Okay.
Well, it looks like what you just explained, that, you know, got a wonderful tale to tell. It looks like Live by Night, the Ben Affleck directed gangster film that's coming out in January. Does this not look beautiful?
This is going to be fucking amazing.
I'm surprised it's not in the Oscar corridor. What are they doing releasing this in January? They have no faith in this? What's going on?
Unless the movie's a giant pile of shit and somehow they pulled a miraculously amazing trailer out of it, because my God, this looks great. First of all, I'm just the trailer alone. This fucking sound work on this trailer is fucking mind boggling. You know,
I thought the visual design.
Sure. So I'm saying that too, but the gun hits, the gunshots, they fucking resonate. Like, they matter in this. I don't even know who's shooting who. I don't even know what's important at this point. It's just a trailer, but I already feel like this movie has weight to it.
I love these kind of movies. I've always liked The Untouchables, Bugsy. I mean, just to name a few, Once Upon a Time in America is one of my favorite movies. I love period gangster films, and I am so surprised.
It's been a while since it's been a really good one, though.
I'm surprised that Ben Affleck is even, I mean, who fucking knew that this guy had, I mean, this is why we should be so excited
that
he's doing
Batman.
This is all
he makes at this point.
I'm stoked he's directing a Batman film because of
this. Which is titled The Batman.
Fine. Let's make it 50s film noir.
No, that's not fine. Oh, that'd be good.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, who fucking knows what they got in store?
All right.
I'm not putting anything past the guy at this point, because from Hollywoodland on, he has just been doing interesting work. And we have to respect the fact that he came back from the Geely nightmare. Even though we both like Geely and it got, you know, way blown out of proportion for what that movie was and the whole hype. But he came back from that fucking mess to make Paycheck. No, to be honest, to make a slew of bad movies. But then he found his footing and really concentrated on it. And from The Town on, he has been on a fucking roll. Really, you have to admit that. The Town is a masterpiece. And Hollywoodland is a near masterpiece, to be honest, too.
I wasn't so keen on The Town, but I did see, you know, it was good.
Hollywoodland? I mean, Gone Baby Gone?
Yeah, obviously.
Fuck.
But this movie looks to be better than anything he's ever made, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Looks like an opus. This looks like just fucking just, I don't fucking just, I mean, guys, watch this trailer. Definitely check this trailer out. This is the one that I would say that we've been waiting for all year, right? This is the movie.
This is the movie I'm most excited about to see this holiday season. It doesn't even come out this holiday season. It's not in January, you know what I mean? But
right.
This is the adult movie of the year. I mean, I wish that I could see this sooner. You know, we're stuck with a lot of things right now that are quote-unquote Oscar baits that, everything's not going to stick. They throw a lot of shit against the wall this time of the year.
When I watched this trailer, I immediately texted you to watch this. Like, that's how good this was.
Exactly. And I did. And it was, I've seen it twice since and watched it again before the show just because I liked it so much. All right, let's make a huge gear shift here and talk about the true memoirs of an international assassin. This is the Netflix original film starring Kevin James, part of the Adam Sandler pact of original programming for them. What did you think of the trailer?
I thought it looked like a straight to Netflix movie.
Yeah, it looks fun, right?
Yeah, I really didn't have a problem with it, especially since if this was coming out in theaters, I'd say this would bomb horribly.
Agreed.
And I'd be right. But since it's just coming straight to video, you know, it's big enough that it feels like a real production, but it's small enough that it can be a little goofy and get away with things that maybe it couldn't have if it had come out on the bigger screen.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, especially because these direct-to-DVD, or I'd tell you, call them before, direct-to-DVD, they're usually shitty, but these direct-to-Netflix ones seem to retain a certain theatrical quality, a higher level than just your standard straight-to-marketplace videos. And I'm a little bit more forgiving because of it, I feel like. You know, I don't hold them to such high standards.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The title alone would have tanked this movie in theaters.
Right. I agree. It looks cliched. It looks trite. It looks like John Candy's Delirious mixed with Adam Sandler's The Do-Over. In fact, I could see Sandler trying to pick over The Do-Over or this project. He probably took The Do-Over, obviously, and said, here, put Kevin James in
which
this.
I really like The Do-Over. So that gives confidence in this one as well, that I will watch this and enjoy it and think, yes, this is worth my $10 for the month.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with this whole crew, and I like the fact that they can give us these things that might just be sketches that go on for too long in the theater, but work on this level. I thought The Do-Over was surprisingly good what it was.
And Kim Coates is in this, so.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I think Masterminds, yeah, Kim Coates, fuck. Guy's in everything. You didn't know that? He's in your dreams, too. You just didn't know it. Him and William Fichter are, like, in everything.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. Between the two of them, they've conquered Hollywood. We just didn't know it. But, I lost my whole train of thought.
Kim Coates is in your fucking head now, man.
Really. No, these they're just fun that these are on Netflix, and I appreciate the fact that these guys are putting out these things. And I wouldn't pay top dollar to watch this, but I think Masterminds could have benefited from this kind of release. To be honest, the Relativity movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, some of those smaller movies, you know, those screen gems, those Relativity things that are, you know, I'm glad they get theatrical releases, but some of that stuff would possibly benefit from just being released on smaller screens.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Rules Don't Apply. Warren Beatty's newest film in, what, 20 years? Howard Hawks, he plays.
Made 20 years ago, right?
I mean, no, he hasn't done anything since, Town and Country? That's 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And really, he's made two movies in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And this is the third one. So what do you think about this trailer? I couldn't make up my mind. What do you think?
I think it looks shitty.
Why? First of all, I thought the lead guy, Alden, who's the new Han Solo, I thought that was Balthazar Getty. I was like, he's really aged well. And then second of all, I thought Dabney Coleman was dead, and I'm glad to see he's not.
This movie is confusing, I guess, to say the least. Like, you know, what is this about? Is this about Hollywood in the Golden Age, or is this just about people sitting around talking about nothing?
This is three different movies.
I'm very confused. What's the fucking point of this? You know, it just doesn't seem focused enough. And I don't really give a shit about this whole time period. Why do people make this time period so fucking boring? What is wrong with this movie right here as it is being played in modern times? Or why is it set in the 50s or whenever? When is this?
Well, Howard Hawks. You know, you got to have the Howard Hughes.
Who gives a shit? You don't have to have that, right? I mean, that's just a thing. Like Warren Beatty. Okay, well, he's obsessed with this time period because he's kind of, you know, that
from
was
from this era. Yeah,
from his, you know, it's in his mind. But that doesn't make it good. There's no reason to set it in this time period, right? Period. There's just no reason to have this movie set in this time period other than it is. You know, it's just not the whole Howard Hughes thing. Is just not really.
It just doesn't look very interesting, and I wanted to like it.
That's what I mean.
I, as it was going on, I kept thinking, okay, what's the catch here? And it just never came, and it looks very flat even from the trailer.
Yeah.
All right, next is Fist Fight, Charlie Day versus Ice Cube in a Christmastime comedy. What do you think about this trailer here?
I thought it was a fairly funny trailer. I think the movie's going to be boring probably for a lot of parts, unless they somehow I don't know. It's hard to get a read off this trailer if this movie's going to have enough substance to fill its running time.
My problem with this trailer is that all the supporting people have the best lines. You know, Tracy Morgan has a great line. The police dispatcher has a great line. The ex-wife. Right? Maybe they're holding back the stuff.
I mean, that's fine. Well, even if they aren't, then that's enough for him to go through, and that's enough to build a movie around this. But it's just such a simple plot. Like,
I kept thinking,
the Tim Allen movie? There was a Tim Allen movie just like this where he had to fight the bully or whatever.
Joe Somebody.
Yeah, Joe Somebody.
Well, there's also a 3 o'clock high, you know, with the kid fighting at school, waiting to go to the parking lot at 3 o'clock, which is a high noon takeoff. But I just kept thinking that with better casting, you could have had Wahlberg and Will Ferrell in this, or Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, and maybe just amped it up a little bit, because Charlie Day is working hard here, but Ice Cube really isn't funny. I mean, as much as I like the guy, he's not a funny presence.
He might just be, you know, I don't know, that's kind of what I was trying to say when you mentioned earlier about the other people. Like, maybe these guys are just supposed to be more of the straight guys, you know, and everything else that happens around them. I mean, Charlie Day obviously is going to be beaten and abused. But Ice Cube, maybe he's not supposed to be necessarily funny in this.
That's what I'm saying. Why don't you get a Wahlberg or a Dwayne Johnson?
Then you could have made it funny, yeah.
Yeah, you know, or at least it had like that kind of physical imposing presence too, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the jury's out on this one, if this is actually going to be good or not. Like you said, I think all signs are kind of pointing to this is going to be... You might as well rent this if you're ever going to watch it, right?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a huge Christmas time release for comedies.
Dean Norris is in it, though, so.
That's who gave that great line, the police captain, right? Or the dispatcher?
Yeah.
Gee, it's hilarious. That was a great line. That's a great closing line of that trailer. I mean, this might be the breakout summer or wintertime hit like Daddy's Home was last year, which had a terrible trailer. It turned out to be very amusing, which we both liked. Well, that's going to wrap up episode 307 here for the Movie Mavericks. We want to thank you guys for joining us as always. All of our back episodes can be found on iTunes, Stitcher? Where else are we at?
Talk Shit is what it is.
Yeah, we're talking shit every day. Swapping spit and talking shit is what we do.
Oh, my.
Yeah, oh, goodness.
As long as we're not swapping shit and talking spit, I'm okay with that. That's better.
That's a whole different type of podcast. Well, as always, we want to thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back soon with episode 308. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com, warp 9. Engage!